Good morning and welcome everyone. For those who may be listening virtually this morning, I'm honored to be here and to be able to fill in for our regular preacher, Nate. And what a beautiful first day of the week it is as we gather together to worship our Lord. Today is also a day of celebration as we honor our mothers. So my lesson this morning is going to be centered on mothers. And I'd like to begin by wishing all of our mothers a happy Mother's Day. And I hope you have a wonderful and memorable day as your families honor you, even if it is at arm's length. But first, just a little background on Mother's Day. The modern holiday of Mother's Day was first celebrated in 1908 when Anna Jarvis held a memorial for her mother at St. Andrew's Methodist Church in Grafton, West Virginia. Miss Jarvis continued to promote Mother's Day, and it grew and grew in popularity over the years. Then in 1914, President Wilson signed a proclamation designating Mother's Day to be held on the second Sunday in May as a national holiday to honor mothers. Everyone can relate to having a mother, if you will, because we all have one. Some have had a loving relationship with their mother all of their lives, and some have been fortunate enough to have a mother that serves God, and some of us have not. Just like all of us, mothers are not perfect, but godly mothers are precious in the eyes of God. And they should be precious in the eyes of their children as well. In Proverbs 1, in verses 8 and 9, it teaches us there that a mother has an important role in teaching her child wisdom, godly wisdom, and right from wrong. There in verse 8, "My son, hear the instruction of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head, and a chain about your neck." And as we look back in the beginning, back in Genesis chapter 1, there in verse 27, we read there where God intended for man and woman to come together and to bear children. So God created man in his own image, as we begin reading there in verse 27. "In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it." Then in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24, we read there where God says, "Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and they will become one flesh." From the very beginning, God desired for a woman to marry and to bear children. And thus we know that Eve, called the mother of all living, as she first gave birth to Cain and Abel. In our Bible, there are many women that we come to recognize as godly mothers, mothers that had children who carried out God's plan for his people. We think of Sarah, who gave birth to Isaac in her old age. And we recall that Sarah prayed for a child, even though she was beyond childbearing years. And God answered Sarah's prayers. Abraham was 100 years old, and Sarah was 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. We can also think of Hannah, the mother of the prophet Samuel, whom she dedicated to the Lord. She prayed fervently and wept bitterly for a child. And she vowed to give him to the Lord for his use. And God answered Hannah's prayers. And Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. We read there in Matthew 3, in verses 1 and 2, we read of John preparing the way for Jesus Christ. Elizabeth was a relative of Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was advanced in years, and she was blessed to give birth to John the Baptist. And of course, another godly mother that we read of in the Bible is Mary, the mother of Jesus, our Lord. Mary was a young Hebrew virgin who loved the Lord, and God entrusted her with bearing his only son, Jesus, who would become the Savior of his people. In Luke chapter 1, we read of the beautiful song of Mary and what God had done for her. There in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 46, we read, Mary said, My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth, all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done a great thing for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. Mothers today also have an important role in raising their children. It's said that a mother is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. You know, when we look at our society today, the breakdown of the family unit over the years, and it's sad, and it's devastating the effect that it has on our nation, on our families, and especially the children. As one generation comes to, or seems to carry on the same dysfunctional lifestyle as the previous generation, it's a vicious cycle. More often now, we see where single mothers alone have the biggest responsibility of raising their children. There are things that a mother needs to teach her children to live. I like to think of these things as life's tools. For instance, she teaches them how to love by her own example of her nurturing and caring of her own family. She teaches her children how to treat others with respect and how to handle life's disappointments and life successes. She teaches her children God's word and how to live according to God's will. Her children should see their mother as a praying mother, as a mother who prays in good times, and a mother who prays in times of need. They should see their mother thanking God for the necessities of life and for answered prayer. Now, many of you know a bit about my background, that I grew up in a foster home. I don't have too many memories of my parents. I'm sure the farthest thing from their mind was schooling or church. And as a young child, I learned and lived the darker side of life, if you will, until years later I became a Christian. Mothers have an awesome responsibility. If we put a mother's workday in the perspective of a job, a six-figure salary wouldn't even begin to cover the hours that she has to put in. Now just think about it. She's a driver, a laundress, a cook, a nurse, a house cleaner, a shopper, a teacher, a wife, a worrier, and the like. She doesn't get a sick day or a day off. And she does all this until her children marry or leave home. Even after they've become adults and they go out on their own, and she looks back and she cries because she would give anything to go back in time and have them little children with her one more time, one more day. Unfortunately, so often adult children's lives are so busy with their own families and their own careers, they don't take time to remember their mom, even with a visit or perhaps an occasional phone call. In Proverbs 23 and verse 22, we read there, Do not despise your mother when she is old. And there's an old saying that mothers are like fine collectibles. As the years go by, they increase in value. Some children don't fully really appreciate the sacrifices that their mothers made when they were young until they become older and have children and families of their own. The unconditional love that a mother shares with her children is like nothing else in the world. And I use the word share here because both the mother and child feel that love throughout their lives, even in the smallest of ways. For example, a mother is the one who sees that there are only 4 pieces of pie for 5 people. And quickly she remarks, "I really don't care for a piece of pie at this time." Let's take a look at some examples in God's word at the love a mother has for her child. In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 16, we read of a demonstration there in 1 Kings chapter 3 of Solomon's wisdom. But it's also a story of love that a mother has for her son. And it goes like this: 2 harlot women who had just given birth to sons. One of the harlots, who had accidentally killed her son by laying on him while she slept. So the mother with the dead son exchanges her dead son with the live one of the other harlot while she slept, and then proceeds to claim the live son was her own, with both women claiming to be the mother of the live baby. Well, it fell on Solomon to figure out who was being truthful, and his plan for doing so was brilliant. He ordered that the live child be cut in two so that each woman could receive partial satisfaction. The real mother revealed herself to Solomon by the love for her child, and I pick up the reading here in verse 26 of 1 Kings chapter 3. Then the woman said, whose child was living, spoke to the king, for she was deeply stirred over her son, and said, "Oh, my Lord, give her the living child and by no means kill him." But the other harlot said, "He shall neither be mine nor yours. Divide him." Then the king said, "Give the first woman the living child and by no means kill it, because she is his mother." Looking into God's word, think of Timothy, a constant and trusted companion of the Apostle Paul. Timothy was raised by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois, who were both born into the Jewish faith and later accepted Christianity. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes to Timothy, he remembers Timothy in his prayers, and he was mindful of his sincere faith that was instilled in him by his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois. Lois and Eunice are examples of the powerful influence that a mother or a grandmother can have on a person. Timothy possessed a sincere faith, a faith that was passed on to him through his mother and his grandmother. Also in the Old Testament, we read of another mother, the mother of Moses. In Exodus chapter 1, the Pharaoh commanded to cast every male child that was born to the Hebrews into the river, and every daughter could live. So when Moses' mother could no longer hide him from the Egyptians, she creates a small ark and sends Moses down the river in hopes that someone would find him and save his life. And as we read in Exodus chapter 2, Moses is saved by the Pharaoh's daughter, and his mother becomes his hired nursemaid and is able to instill in him God's word. Think of the faith and think of the trust that Moses' mother had toward God and how God made it possible for her to raise her son. And in the New Testament, there's an example of a mother who asks a request of Jesus for her 2 sons, James and John, the son of Zebedee. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. And Jesus said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these 2 sons of mine may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom." Then in verse 23 of Matthew 20, Jesus answers her and says, "But to sit on my right hand and to sit on my left is not mine to give, but it's for those whom it is prepared for by my Father. All mothers can relate to wanting to have the best for their children. A godly mother's conduct and character is in keeping with God's word. Her life is rooted in the word of God. Her life is rooted in prayer, and she raises her children to be just like her, to be a reflection of her. A godly mother trusts God for every need in her life. She knows and believes God's promises. She has faith that God will meet her every physical and material and emotional need in this life. She's confident of the future, and she's anxious for nothing. Another quality of a godly mother is that she's hospitable toward others. She opens her home and invites you in, and maybe all she can afford is a cup of coffee and a good conversation. She's generous and kind and thoughtful. She does good deeds for others. And we can read of the virtuous wife who is a mother and her generosity in chapter 31 of Proverbs. And in verse 20 there we read, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hand to the needy. And a godly mother works hard and is praised by her family. Again in Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 13, we read there, she seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises up while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And then skipping down to verse 24, she makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. And on a personal note, think of the sacrifice that your mother had to make in order that you might live. Now think of the sacrifice that God had to make so that you and your mother might live. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 10, it tells us, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Not only do we thank God for our wonderful mothers, but more importantly, we thank him for Jesus, who makes it possible for our uniting with our loved ones in heaven if we live faithfully in this life. Finally, in my research for this lesson, I found this tender story. When President McKinley, when his mother grew ill, he had a special telegraph line hooked up to her home from Washington. And he sent her a telegram every day. Finally, when he heard that she was dying, he sent another telegram that simply said, tell mother I'll be there. And he rushed to her side before she slipped away into eternity. And Charles M. Fillmore took the words of the president's telegram and made it into a song. And these are some of the words. When I was but a little child, how well I recollect how I would grieve my mother with my folly and neglect. And now that she is gone in heaven, I'll miss her tender care. O Savior, tell my mother I'll be there. Though I was often wayward, she was always kind and good, so patient, gentle, and loving when I acted rough and rude. My childhood griefs and trials, she would gladly with me share. O Savior, tell my mother, I'll be there. One day a message came to me, and it bid me quickly come. If I would see my mother ere the Savior took her home, I promised her before she died for heaven to prepare. O Savior, tell my mother, I'll be there. Tell my mother I'll be there in answer to her prayer. This message, blessed Savior, for her to bear. Tell my mother I'll be there, heaven's joys with her to share. Yes, tell my darling mother I'll be there. In closing this morning, I'd like to comment that this virus is frightening, and it's caused us all to think about many things that perhaps we have taken for granted. I don't know about you, but mortality certainly comes to mind when we work our way through this pandemic. Please consider your life this morning, and if you want to secure a life in heaven with our Lord, please take a look at your life. If you have come to an understanding of the meaning of salvation and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing to confess his name and repent of your past sinful life, and you have that desire that you want to start your life over, start your life anew with the Lord, we can make it possible for you to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins here at the building. As long as you remain faithful to him, then you can be sure to that place in heaven when this life is over. You can just let us know what your wishes are, and we'll be glad to get with you and make everything ready. Perhaps you've fallen away for one reason or another. Please let it be known, and we'll pray for you and we'll help you in any way that we can as well. Again, happy Mother's Day to all of our wonderful mothers, and I look forward to worshiping with you physically once again. We'll close with a song for your encouragement. Have a blessed day and have a blessed week.